believe, for all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Before we go to prayer, I'd like to have us open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. And this evening, we will take a short message from the Scriptures before we go to communion and foot washing. What I wish to speak on is from the Scriptures and Brother Branham's message, showing that Jesus, the Son of God, was not omniscient, but God, His Father, is omniscient. This shows the difference between Father and Son that the Trinitarians do not understand, nor do the oneness or Jesus only, and therefore they guard it against it and will not teach it, although it is as plain as day in the Scriptures. This tells me also, then, that they have not a pure motive, because if it's in the Scriptures and they won't teach it, their motive cannot be pure. For our text, we'll turn to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, because it tells us that no one has taught God, no one has directed God, no one has counseled God, no one has instructed God in any way, shape, or form, for He alone is the omniscient one, and He is the all-knowing one. In Isaiah 40, verse 13 to 14, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has taught God? With whom did God take His counsel? And who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment and taught Him knowledge and showed to Him the way of understanding? And the answer to all these questions is nobody. Because God is omniscient. He knows all things and He is omnipotent and He has the power to back up those things which you know. So let's bow our heads in prayer. To gracious Father, we recognize, O God, that you are not only the sovereign God, the omniscient God, the omnipotent God, but you are also the God who is a solitary God. You don't need us, but Father, we need you. So we come humbly, we come reverently, O God, believing, Lord, that there is no big one in this message. There is only one big one, and that is you, the omnipotent one. Even your Son Jesus humbled Himself even to the death of the cross. And so we recognize that we all must humble ourselves, as Brother Branham gave us the illustration of the young man who went up to the pulpit with his head up and he left the pulpit with his head down. And the old man, the old preacher said if he had gone up the way he came down, he would have gone down the way he came up. And so we recognize, Father, that we must humble ourselves in the sight of God, and He will lift us up in due season. So, Father, help us, Lord, as we approach Thy Word, to be reverent, to be respectful, and above all things, Father, to be open to what Your Spirit would show us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Jesus admitted that He did not do what He wanted to do. In John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Now, if we could just have that testimony, and from this scripture here, I see two things. Number one is that Jesus did not claim to know it all, or to know all things, or else He would not have admitted that the Father teaches Him. And number two, He said He loved everything that God taught Him. So my question to you is this. Do you love this Word above everything else? Just my question. You have to answer in your heart, yes, it is my meat. You see? Do you love the Father so much? And do you want for Him to show you things that you didn't know before? And of course, our answer should be, yes, Father, I am open to everything that you would have us to know. You see, even in this message, we must be on guard against that organizational spirit that would, and make sure that it never comes upon us. Brother Branham said that spirit of organization will rally around a certain truth from the Bible, but then in order to safeguard that truth, So their motive seems to be right. They want to safeguard it. They want to protect it. And they will begin to organize around that truth, and in so doing so, they will shut themselves off from all other truth outside of that one thing that they have safeguarded. And if you're not in their little pocket, behind their little defense, you're not in it. You're just not part of it. I mean, you're just nothing. And we don't ever want to have that spirit upon us, because right there we are dead. And God, the presence of God, will move right on, and He'll leave us behind, smug in our thinking that we've got the teacher, we've got the prophet, we've got it all, and realize that we don't have a thing. Like Brother Vail said, they've got it, but they don't got it. You see? The Lutherans did it after Luther left the scene. And then when Wesley came along with sanctification, the Lutherans refused the new light and did not move on with God. Then the Methodists did it to themselves. After John Wesley left the scene, and when the outpouring of the Holy Ghost fell, they rejected it and they failed to move on with God. Well, then the Pentecostals organized. And when God sent them a prophet, William Branham, with a message, they were so organized, so tight, that they failed to see the move of God and they failed to move on with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and they died right there. Then in this message, God began to illuminate this message, and God used Brother Vail to get us to focus the light on the doctrine. And those who claim to hold it to every word of Brother Branham, that every word that Brother Branham taught, they didn't want anything to do with Lee Vail. They said, "We got Brother Branham, we don't need you." They said to Jesus, "We got Moses, we don't need you." Well, and so the same scene continues to go on and on and on. And the sad thing is that the brethren do not see the pattern, so they are not aware that they are falling into the same pattern again and again and again. Now, in each case, they organize so tight that they miss the blessings of God. Well, they are doing it again. We must never think that we have it all, for that is the minute you place a period after what you believe, and that is the minute that you die right there. Now, the thing of it is that they hold to what has been taught them, and in order to preserve that what has been taught them, they begin to close up and to form a hedge around what they believe, and when you do that, you cease to move on with God. So if a man comes to you and teaches you right from the Bible, which Brother Branham said was his absolute, and he takes what Brother Branham said he can show you from the Bible, why don't you just open your ears and listen? You see? Well, but that's just the way people are. They think, well, if so-and-so didn't say it, well, then it must not be true. Oh, really? Since when did God vindicate anyone outside of William Branham for this hour? And even if he said, if I say anything outside of this word, you don't have to believe it. Brother Branham said that. He said, if I teach you something that's not in this word, he said, you don't have to believe it. From water, from the rock. Brother Branham said, when Martin Luther built the first camp, he organized it so tight, he just couldn't do nothing else but be Lutheran. God come right around. He moved the pillar of fire out. The children followed it. Wesley brought the message. And the first thing you know, Wesley organized so tight, till he couldn't move. Then the first thing, the pillar of fire moved out, and here comes the Pentecostals to going right on with it, and the Pentecostals organized so tight till they're fussing whether they're oneness, two-ness, three-ness, or one-hump camel, two-hump camel, three-hump camel, this way, that way, that way. God's moving right on out, leaving them. That's right, the Holy Spirit is moving on. His children is following it. Well, from the Messiah, Brother Branham said, remember, the ones inside the denominations, they never saw him. It's the ones on the outside that saw him. They heard a knock, but they didn't see it. That's the way it is today. A man that'll go around and today and say, well, I never seen nothing about it. I went over there, I never seen nothing. See, he can't see it. He's all organized up so tight, he can't see nothing. But if you can just ever get free enough to get outside, to look who's standing out there knocking, to see who it is doing those things. You see what I mean? Get outside. Outside. Don't be so organized, because when you do, you can't see nothing. Only thing you can see is your denomination. But if you can get outside, you'll see Jesus in all of His glory and His mercy trying to get into His people. And from Angel of the Covenant, Brother Branham said, but you know what? He organized his church so tight, it began to be that it was only the Lutheran church. You was either Lutheran or you wasn't in it. Pillar of fire won't hang around, nothing like that. Huh? You was either Lutheran or you wasn't in it. Pillar of fire won't hang around, nothing like that. So away it went. I will restore, Brother Branham said, I'm going to scorch you, brother. Now look, not me, not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit. Notice, and Wesley couldn't move because he was organized. The Pentecostal people saw it, and away they went. That's right. Right out under the pillar of fire they went, shouting and speaking in tongues and having a great time. Is that right? But brother, the sad part is the Pentecostal has organized now and is so tight. Well, now I belong to the Assemblies of God. I belong to this. And you're organized so tight, and God's moving the pillar of fire right out. Hallelujah. And the church is going after it. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders and miracles. And from the message, I will restore. He said, well, that fire was hid for a while through the dark ages. But the first one saw that pillar of fire was Martin Luther. He sounded the trumpet and come out of the Catholic Church. And the first thing you know, it caused a great universal revival. All right. Then the next thing you know, Martin Luther got to organizing. And he organized down so tight until the pillar of fire moved on. But Luther couldn't go because he was organized and full of a bunch of doctrine. But the pillar of fire moved just the same. John Wesley saw it in England, and away it went. Justification, that Luther preached by faith, and the first thing you know, Wesley saw sanctification through the blood. And away he went, believing. And the first thing you know, a great revival saved England and America. When him and Asbury and all of them come here to America, great revival swept the land. The pillar of fire moved. Then the first thing you know, Wesley began to organize the Wesleyan Methodist Church. He got so organized till after a while, away went the pillar of fire again out of the Wesleyan Church, and Wesley couldn't move because he was organized. And from once more, he said, each one's become a ladder rein to the other. You see, Luther was a ladder rein to the Catholic, and John Wesley was a ladder rein to the Lutheran, and Pentecost was a ladder rein to that to the denomination. Now the Pentecostals are organized. Now, what's going to happen? See? But remember, the children of God never drove their stake tents down or so tight, but that they couldn't pull them up again. And when the fire moved, the pillar of fire, they moved with it. See? They moved with the pillar of fire, but when you get the pillar of fire doing something, the Holy Spirit doing something, and then after that, man with a message departs this life, then they say they organize upon his work, and the pillar of fire moves right out and leaves them sitting there, just goes right on. And they're so staked down till they can't move, and now, but in there is many fine-hearted people. In other words, they just hammer those stakes right in. These are the tenets of our doctrine, you know, and they just hammer it so much that you can't get the stake out. The pillar of fire is going, you can't get the stake out. So while you're trying to get that stake out, he's already gone. Huh? Isn't that where we can go if we're not careful? We've got it, brother. You don't got it out there. We should always have a heart. Listen. We should always have a heart that is tender toward sharing the love of God that's in our heart to other people. And don't block off others from what you've got. Brother Brown said eternal life is living for others. So you see, when you get to the place that you cannot hear the truth of the Scriptures from someone just because that person is not in your camp, that day you have left God. So keep an open heart to the Scripture, brothers and sisters, and God will leave you behind, just like He left the Lutherans and Methodists and Pentecostals. He is a God that changes not. If He left the message of the hour of Lutherans' day, because they staked down, they got so hard, and they got that. I just don't like that spirit, that organizational spirit. It's hard. But pillar of fire moves on. They did it. He did it in Lutheran's day. Left them. Did it in Wesley's day. Left them. Did it in Pentecost. Left them. He's doing it in this message, you know. Just make sure that you're not part of those that are so staked down. You understand? Now, Brother Branham said from his sermon, we would see Jesus, if God doesn't speak back through His Word when we see something, then just leave it alone. But as long as it's the Word, then I know the heavens and earth will pass away, but His Word will never fail. Therefore, I believe the Bible to be the absolute truth of God, and it isn't to be added to or taken away from, but just lived, preached in its simplicity, and lived the way that it's wrote. If He ever was God, He's still God, and this is the Word, and He made a promise, and He cannot, and that He cannot, that he, if God made a promise that He cannot back up, then He isn't God. and from church order. He said, you get two men, you got two opinions. It's got to come to one final absolute, and my absolute is the Word, the Bible. From his sermon, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, he said, in the time of the meeting, if I ever say anything or any of my co-workers does or says anything towards teaching that's not found in the Bible, you let me know about it. So if we teach anything that we cannot back up from this Bible, you don't have to believe it. Because this says it. And Brother Branham even said this is his absolute. And if you can't show it from here, then you don't know it. From Christ, explaining the ministry, he said, or from Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever, he said, in the time of the meeting, if I ever say anything, I already read that. Explaining the ministry, he said, and let's just search back. If that isn't scriptural, then leave it alone. If I ever say anything in your presence as a doctrine or teaching that's not in the Bible, forget it because it's not right. And any angel, I don't care how real he looks and how inspired he is, if he speaks contrary to the Word of God, leave him alone. He's not of God. Galatians 1 and 8 says, an angel from heaven preach any other doctrine than this, what already has been taught, let him be cursed. We don't take nothing but what just God said. And from Christ revealing his own word, he said, all other words, I don't care how well they're placed, who they come from, what denomination they come from, or how smart the man is, it's to be absolutely ignored, anything contrary to the word. If a bright shining angel come up there and stand and say things that was contrary to the word, you'd say, Satan, get away from me. Well, that's right. If he's bishop, if he's whatever he is, don't you never believe him if he doesn't speak exactly with that Bible, word by word, watch him. He will carry you with the Bible now. He will carry you to a certain place and then hook it right there. When you see the Bible saying one thing and he bypasses that, watch him right there. See, that's the way he done Eve. So I'm saying that when Brother Branham says in 12 different places, he distinguishes between the works of Jesus and the greater works, and he identifies his ministry with the greater works, but he says in 12 different places, and I can take and show you. I've got the quotes. And Brother Branham says, that when someone says, Brother Branham, they said, now, is John 14:12, the works that I do, shall you do also to the believer? He said, now, is that to the church? Is that for everybody? You know, healing the sick and raising the dead and all these things? Or is that just for Elijah? And Brother Branham said, well, not exactly. He said, no, he said, not everybody will do that, but he said, that doesn't mean it's only one person either. He said, it's in the group of believers. And I can take and show you 12 quotes where he says that. He says, if you don't have the works of Christ following you, he said, you have to question whether you're a believer. Now, does that mean that you've got the power to raise the dead and all these things? No, God has the power to raise the dead. Jesus didn't have power to do anything. He said, I can do nothing of myself. But when God gives you the opportunity and you step into that opportunity, it will happen. And if you don't believe it, you're not a believer. You see? And for us to rip that out and say, well, see, John 14:12 is only William Branham, that's an error. Because Brother Branham himself said it contrary to that. You understand? Now, that doesn't mean Brother Branham didn't identify with John 14:12. He did. But Brother Branham identified with Malachi 4. You know that? How many believe Brother Branham identified with Malachi 4? Well, you know, there's part of Malachi 4 that says that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That wasn't William Branham. That was John the Baptist. So to say that Malachi 4 is only William Branham, that's an error. It's an error. You see? So let's not be so exclusive that we put everything out. And because, you know, we believe that Malachi 4 was at the end time, God would send the spirit of Elijah. That's fine. We believe that. And part of that scripture was for that. And maybe the majority of that scripture was for that. But if there's just a little bit there that says John the Baptist, and you say, no, it's not, it's William Branham only, then you're in error. Well, if there's a place called John 14:12 that says The works that I do shall he do also, even greater works than these. And Brother Branham says, and then even greater. In other words, there's a difference between the works and the greater works. Well, you say, well, no, that just, you know, it's the works, but then there's more of it. Well, that's partially true, but Brother Branham also said, now remember, he said, it's greater because, he said, you see, things were spoken into existence from nothing in my ministry. But in Jesus, he took fish from another fish. He created fish from another fish. He created water, or he took water and he created wine. He took bread and he created more bread from the same substance. But in this ministry, he said, it was a spoken word. It was created from nothing. And Brother Brown said, that is the greater. So we have two places. Brother Brown said, yeah, it's greater because it's more than. The diaglot says, you know, even greater because it's more than. And we know that no ministry since the time of Christ had more miracles than in the ministry of William Branham. So that's John 14:12. Exactly, that's John 14:12. But also in John 14:12 is other believers. Look, otherwise you've got William Branham as the only believer. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Even greater shall he do because I go to my Father. You see, there's two things there. And that's what I'm just trying to say. We need to learn how to read our Bibles. We read them through like a book and we just rush through things and we don't recognize that there's things there. There's thoughts. There's two thoughts. In fact, it's separated by a semicolon. And when I looked that up about a semicolon, it says that a semicolon separates two distinct things. Well, if this is distinct from this, like when Jesus said, he closed the book and he said, this day the scripture is fulfilled. And Brother Branham pointed us to, he said, a colon or a comma separated 2,000 years, two different ministries. Now, if a colon can separate comma can separate 2,000 years and two distinct ministries, why wouldn't a colon or semicolon, is it a semicolon? You have your Bible open? Is it a semicolon or a colon?
John
14:12. Semicolon, yeah. It was a semicolon. And semicolon, it says, it separates two distinct thoughts. So you have the works and you have the greater works. Well, so do we stick with what Brother Branham said? Or do we just, because we're in a little camp that says one thing, we're going to go along with what the camp says? See, what I'm trying to get you is don't look to any man. I don't care if it's me. We had a vindicated prophet, William Branham. That's why when I preach, I take what he says and I take it to the scriptures. It's not my opinion. It's what he said. Amen? Now, I'm not upset. I'm just saying, we need to get to the place where we are free from all that nonsense of being bound by the thoughts of a peer pressure. Because if you're not free, when the pillar fire moves on, you're going to miss it. And Brother Branham talked about the rapture that way too. He said, they're going to wonder what happened. Why did we miss it? And then he said, that voice will come back to them and say, it was there and you turned your faith and you missed it. So, are we so hard bound and stiff that we're going to miss it? Or are we going to be open? Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have your servant to do? Frankly, I'm so fed up with the organization in this message that I'd like to buy some land out in Montana and just get away from most of the people in it. But you know what would happen to me? When Brother Branham had that idea to move up to the mountains of British Columbia, you know what God said to him? He gave him a vision of an old tramp in a dump. And he said, you want to be like that? And that kind of scared William Branham back into preaching again. And if it scared him, it scares me too. I don't want to end up an old tramp. But you see, it's just the same old, same old. Let us be free in our spirit from God's preparations. Now, friends, there's many, many things that people do and say, perhaps, maybe. I'm not the judge of people. But I think any ministry or any denomination, any demonstration of the Spirit of God that can't be backed up in this Bible, I'd leave it alone. If anything that anyone says that isn't backed up by the Scripture, then I couldn't go with it. Although I wouldn't say it wasn't from God till I seen the fruits of it. Then I wouldn't say nothing about it. I just let it go like that. I don't believe in talking about people. I think that's a good lesson for all of us, me included. God helped me to get there. He said, I wouldn't say it wasn't God till I seen the fruits of it. Then I wouldn't say nothing about it. I just let it go like that. I don't believe in talking about people. I don't believe that. I believe in rebuking sin and so forth. But talking about, well, this church is not right. And they are nothing but hypocrites. And this pastor, nothing. That's wrong. The Bible said so. You see, the way is that if you think that I'm preaching error, you're obligated to come to me. You're not obligated to go to somebody else. Take him into your office and say, well, look, he's preaching off and he's not preaching what you know, Brother Vail is saying and this and that. No, you're obligated to come to me and say, brother, what do you mean by this? You know, what's your motive? I don't understand. Why are you saying this? And, you know, we thought we learned it a certain way. The fact is that I would take him back and show him. I said, I've got 600 Brother Vail sermons on our internet. You can search and just look up the word John 14:12 in his sermon or greater works in his sermon, and you'll find every time Brother Vail refers to John 14:12, he refers to the greater works. You see, because he was teaching about Brother Branham's ministry. The works isn't Brother Branham's ministry. That's our ministry. That's you and I. He wasn't teaching about that. He was showing them Brother Branham's ministry from John 14:12, the greater works. Just like Brother Branham said when he quotes John 14:12, and he said, now you all can't be that one. That's what he said. He said, there's only one Moses, one Elijah, one Jesus. But you can be part of it by believing it and receiving it. Amen? Amen. From, now Jesus said in Mark 13:32, he said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now what did he just say here? Now if you can read your Bible, and you heard what I just read to you, that even the Son of God did not know the day nor the hour when the second coming would take place. So if he doesn't know, that would mean he is not all-knowing. Is that right? Again, we see in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, again, we see the same thing being taught here in the book of Matthew as we saw in the book of Mark. And in this case, he doesn't specifically say, neither does the Son know, but he is inferring that because he says, but my Father only. Well, if it's the Father only, it's not him, it's not anyone else, no angels, nothing else. He don't have to say that. If he says, only my Father knows, then he's saying he doesn't know. Unless, of course, you're oneness and you think he is the Father. But Brother Branham was pretty clear when he said he's not his own Father. All right? Therefore, no matter how you slice it, if we have three witnesses here, John, Matthew, and Mark, who all three testified that the Son of God was not omniscient, shall we go on to a fourth witness? Well, let's do it. How about Luke as our next witness, as we read in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and a man. Now, if Jesus could increase in wisdom and these other things, it shows that he was not omniscient. Because one who is omniscient knows all things and therefore could not increase in wisdom because he already is wise. He'd be the all-wise God. And as we begin with John, let us return to John in 5:19 to read for ourselves that Jesus was dependent on the Father for his understanding and leading. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. Notice, the Father showing him all things. And he will show him greater works than these, that you might marvel. Now in closing, Brother Branham said from Pool of Bethesda, now, Lord, I pray that you will come in power and will make yourself known tonight among the children. And I ask you, Father, if that is as I have testified to the people tonight, that even your beloved Son could do nothing and say no words or do anything except first the Father showed him. He testified that to be true. And tonight his Spirit living on in the church after 1900 years testifies the same thing. All the way from the beginning of time, we think about Balaam, the prophet, who sold out. Yet standing up there on the mountain, he said, how can any prophet say any words unless God first puts them in his mouth? Truly, Father, all praise and glory for all the work goes to you, our Father. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, to know that your Son was not omniscient because we are not omniscient. We don't know tomorrow from today. And yet we do know that there's a certain role that you have for each of us to play. We do know that you sent a message in this day. You came down to deliver it. You spoke it to a prophet who then spoke it to us. And the things which were hidden that belonged to you became ours, became revealed to us and became ours. And so, Father, we hold on to those things which you've given us. But help us, Lord, to be open, that our understanding may grow, and that we may be humble and reverent and looking for you, Father, to change us from mortal to immortal. Be with us tonight as we partake in the communion and in the foot washing. And we ask your blessing upon all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The brothers would bring forth the elements at this time. And while they do, if we would open our Bibles to John chapter 13. Brother Nick, could you go push the little red button up there to stop? You just have to push it once, and the little red button, it's on the left side, the right side. Thank you. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answering said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Well, Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answering him said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to have to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Well, he's talking about himself. He's not greater than his Lord, and he's not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not to you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thank you, because if he didn't sacrifice himself, Lord, we wouldn't have forgiveness of all our sins, past, present, and future. So, Lord, we're asking that you forgive us of all of our sins, God. We know we're not perfect people, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you Help us day by day as we go throughout our lives, God. Lord, just ask you all this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name.
Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. We ask you that you bless this wine that represents your broken body and share that blood of your Christ was given to us. Give us tonight a special time around this celebration and memory what you did for us through your Son, for obedient Son. Father, we ask you to bless also everyone who are tonight participated in this memory, in this remember of that. Put in our hearts that with your grace, of course, Father, because you chose us, we have not chose you. And give us that grace that we can do works. Give us in our hearts to walk and be obedient like your firstborn Son until he suffered and learned that obedience. And we ask you, Father, that help to our flesh to die ourselves to ourselves, Father. And we commit this service, this time for communion, the foot washing, and we pray in the precious name what is given to us. And we ask for victory in this name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Number 375, Just As I Am.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.